morning. Welcome to worship this morning. It's good to see you all. Have a few announcements to point out to you. First, that following the second service this morning is the Trunk or Treat Extravaganza. Details are in the top of, I don't know, third page or so, I guess is what that is, in your bulletin. But there's lunch and then treats for the kids and all of that. So it'd be great to have you come back and join us for both of those. Let's see, Michelle has an announcement that she would like to make about Family Promise.
Good morning. Just a heads up, our Family Promise calendars shifted a little bit from what originally went out. It is our week for Family Promise. We will not have a family moving until tomorrow. And that is a single mom with her young son, who I think is four in that range anyway. So she starts tomorrow. So we have plenty of spots available on the board there, or if you want to see either Jennifer or Kyle or myself or Jennifer, no? So Jennifer Painter's not here, so any of the three of us, and we'll get you signed up on the login, or if you look at your weekly reminders in your inbox from Thursday, there's a link to the sign up there. So let us know if you have any questions or whatever, so that's our week for Family Promise. Thank you for helping out.
Thanks, Michelle. One other announcement I'd like to point out to you is that next Sunday is when we will observe All Saints Day. So we will be remembering members of the congregation who have passed away in the last year. If you have someone that you would like to remember outside of our church family, please let the office know by October 30th. We will be listing all those names in next week's bulletin. I believe that's all the announcements that I have. Let us worship together.
Please stand and join us in our first song.
Water, you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
Please join me in the call to worship. This is the day the Lord has made, a day for praise and prayer, a day for gratitude and generosity. This is the time God has given us, a time for singing and silence, a time for speaking and listening. This is the life to which God calls us, a life of humility and service, a life of faith and trust.
Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
When we pray to God, do we do so with pride in what wonderful people we are, or with that humble hope which recognizes how we have not lived as God's children and how we need God's forgiveness and grace in our lives? Join me as we pray to our God, saying, watching God, like the Pharisee, we think we can stick our thumbs into life, pull out a prayer, and congratulate ourselves for being such good Christians. Then we remember the harsh words we have spoken this week, the hurt we have inflicted on someone we loved, the lack of compassion we failed to offer to someone who needed our help. Forgive us, God of grace, and deal gently with us. May we become more like the tax collector, humble, penitent, acknowledging our faulty lives to you. Then may we receive the mercy promised to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Forgiven and healed, we open ourselves to the grace, the peace, the hope offered to us through our loving God. This is the good news we have received. Graced and blessed, we are able to live our lives for others, taking them by the hand to reach that finish line called the kingdom. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. My righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Would the children please come join me up front? Good morning, everybody. All right, thanks for coming up front and joining me. I have a question. Do you guys know what it means to be boastful? No? Or proud? Yeah? What's it mean to be proud?
When someone's proud of you?
Right, yes. When you do good. So here's some reasons you could be proud of yourself. Maybe you won the winning goal in a soccer game, or you scored the winning goal in a soccer game, or you got all the words right on a spelling test. You did all your spelling right. So you did really good, and your parents say, great job, or your coach. So you can be proud. But it's possible to be too proud. Yeah, so it's possible to think you're better than others. Is that a good thing to do? No, that's not okay. So in the Bible lesson we're going to hear today, we're going to hear about two people who went to the temple to pray. And the first one, he was a Pharisee. That means he was a leader in the church. He was a religious leader. So he prayed, and he stood there and had his arms up and said loudly, "Thank you, God, because I'm such a good person. I tithe to you, I pray to you, I do everything right. Thank you that it's great that I'm a good person. I'm better than that guy over there who's also praying. I'm just better." Do you think that was a good prayer? No, it wasn't a very good prayer because he thought he was better than the other people. So the other man who was praying was someone who worked for the Roman government. He was called a tax collector. So his job was to go collect taxes from people. And the tax collectors had a bad reputation because a lot of them would collect extra money for themselves. They'd take extra money and not give that to the government. They'd keep that. So most people didn't like tax collectors. So when you listen to Jesus' stories, when he's talking about somebody, when he wants to make an example of somebody who maybe wasn't very good, he would talk about a tax collector. So then, so the other person praying that day was a tax collector, and he held his head low, and he said, "Oh, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for not living up to your requirements, for not being as good of a person as I should be." Now, which prayer do you think made God happier? The boastful, "Oh, I'm so good," or "Oh, Lord, please help me."
Please, Lord, help me.
I think so, too, and I think that was the point that Jesus was trying to make in his story, that he wanted us to know that the Lord likes it when we're humble. So humble means that we know, okay, we might do some things good, but we understand that we don't do everything great, and we're not perfect, and we're not wonderful. The Lord has made us to praise him and to be humble and to be servants for him. Okay, so remember that if you ever think you want to be proud and boastful, remember that it's better to be humble. And because that's the way the Lord has asked us to be. All right, so let's say a prayer. Dear Father, we pray that you would help us to remain humble so that we would not think so highly of ourselves, because we should only be thinking highly of you. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats, or if you're in kindergarten, join me for children's chapel.
Let us pray. Eternal wisdom, from generation to generation, you teach your people the way to live. Through words that are ancient, you speak your living word. Speak to us now with all that we need to honor you and walk in your way with honesty and humbleness of heart. Amen. Our reading this morning from Luke 18 is like a summary of the building blocks of faith that we've been looking at over the last few weeks. That faith is for is not for status, but for service. It recognizes and is reliant on God's compassion and expresses that recognition through thanksgiving. And it is prayerful and persistent. All words that you should see over here. Before we read this morning's parable, we need to acknowledge that we have been saturated by the way the Gospels portray Pharisees and tax collectors in the life of Jesus. We're already suspicious of the Pharisee, knowing that he is part of the group of folks who are responsible for plotting Jesus' execution. And we know that tax collectors like Zacchaeus and Matthew the disciple are beloved by Jesus. So we come to this text already suspicious of the Pharisee and already rooting for the tax collector. But the first audience saw each of these individuals in a different light. The Pharisee, literally the separated ones, were the most prominent and influential group in Palestinian Jewish life. They were very precise in their interpretation of the law and zealous in their observance of the law. They were the ones who would question Jesus when he would break the law, healing on the Sabbath or eating with those who were unclean. And while they were precise and zealous themselves, they were lenient in punishing everyday people who broke the law. And this is likely why they had the support of the people. These were the religious leaders that the general public admired and followed, the saints of their day. As I explained a few weeks ago, and as Michelle just mentioned, tax collectors were not beloved. In the Roman Empire, local residents were subject to multiple taxes, and the task of collecting those was farmed out in a kind of pyramid scheme. And so there was tremendous opportunity for corruption and collection of more than the tax that was required. They were despised by their neighbors, and they were sinners because they had broken the law of Moses. They were guilty of usury, they worked for foreigners against their own people, and they were ceremonially impure because they were in contact with Gentiles. Now, all of this made them sinners and despised and cut off from the community. So before we read our text this morning, think of an old Western where the hero wears the white cowboy hat and the villain wears the black hat. For the first listeners, the tax collector would be wearing the black hat and the Pharisee the white hat. Let us listen for God's word to us in Luke 18. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted.
Mm-hmm.
Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a heck of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can.
Jesus just needed a little Mac Davis and David Jones. It sounds like a great interpretation of the Pharisee, right? The self-confidence or entitlement with which the Pharisee, in his white hat, prayed is exactly what the listeners would expect. The Pharisee would stand apart, and a common prayer posture was to stand with arms raised to heaven. It was also common to be thankful for the status that you had achieved, not being in a lesser category, because that was a blessing from God. It's not surprising that the Pharisee fasted, because fasting of the righteous was believed to atone for unknown sins. And it's not surprising that he tithed. Both are important fulfillments of the law. In that legal bound mindset, upholding the law is the key that unlocks God's blessing. The tax collector, too, in his black hat, behaved as the listeners would expect. He was a sinner, as we already discussed, and he should be ashamed of himself and throw himself on God's mercy. But there's probably little hope for him. Each one behaved as the first listeners would expect. There's no surprise there. But Jesus' parables always have a twist. They always have a surprise. The Pharisee and tax collector behaved as expected, but the outcome, who went home justified, is not what they expected. The listeners are stunned. How could the sinner, rather than the saint, be justified? Luke tells us at the very beginning of this parable that it's for some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. God's justification is not about self-righteousness, Jesus says. It's not about all that you're able to accomplish, all that you can do for yourself. It's not about how much better you are compared to someone else. It's not about your achievement. It's about what happens when we see others with contempt rather than compassion. We don't earn justification. It's a gift to those who are humble enough to recognize their need and open enough to receive it. When you look at the two men, who actually has faith? As Jesus defines it. Who is it that actually recognizes God as a generous benefactor? Who's the one who displays the kind of faith Jesus has been teaching his disciples throughout his Jerusalem journey? Faith that is for service, not status. Thanksgiving, not entitlement. Faith that is persistent and tenacious, utterly reliant and expectant on God's mercy. Faith that does not pull itself up by its own bootstraps, but instead trusts what Jesus has been telling and showing his followers over and over, that the fatherhood of God is characterized by generosity, care, compassion, and faithful activity on behalf of God's children. It can be trusted. It really is hard to be humble. Not because we are perfect, but because we live in a culture of endless and cutthroat competition. Humility has almost no place in our time. We're required to promote ourselves, and in far too many cases, self-promotion bleeds into other demotion. Our efforts to get to the top require pushing others down or out. This season of division and outright hatred in our nation's political life is overflowing with examples on all sides. Now, some don't like politics in church, but like it or not, the political climate has saturated our psyches, and we carry it with us everywhere we go, including church. It's impacting our spiritual lives, our practice of faith. And there's equal opportunity for critique on all sides of our political process. It has elevated contempt rather than compassion, self-righteousness rather than self-reflection, hubris rather than humility, and fear rather than faith. I'm not interested in pointing a finger at any particular person or party. What I want us to do is to simply look in the mirror of Scripture, each of us individually. When I take a hard look in the mirror with the message of this morning's parable, I have to admit that I see myself as righteous, as right, as justified, and can easily regard others with contempt. Now, of course, I don't pray like the Pharisee. Who would be so arrogant to pray out loud, "Thank you, God, that I am not like"? And yet I have to admit, if I'm being brutally honest, I've become well practiced at pointing fingers, delighting in the sins of others and my own righteousness by comparison. I have to admit that there are those I do indeed regard with contempt, who I've lost all patience and respect for. And it pains me to say that I am much more like the Pharisee than the tax collector. You see, the Pharisee had enough religion to be virtuous, but not enough to be humble. His lack of humility drove him away from the tax collector rather than toward him. When we think we're more righteous, we'll regard others with contempt. And when we regard others with contempt, our self-righteousness becomes a barrier to relying on God's grace. If we're truly aware of our need for grace and forgiveness, we will not be able to despise other people. The nature of grace is paradoxical. It can be received only by those who have learned empathy for others. As Jesus says earlier in the Gospel of Luke, only the merciful can receive mercy, and only those who forgive will be forgiven. Look in the mirror. Have you insulated yourself from needing grace so that you don't get to experience it? And if you haven't allowed yourself to experience it, how can you extend it? The church, the place where you might hope humility would still have a foothold, has been less than exemplary. We too have demonized and criticized those with different viewpoints. And it's no wonder that those outside the faith are not the least interested in our message. If the Christian community cannot find its way back to the teachings of Jesus that emphasize the humility that leads to servanthood and love and civility and respect, then we are in danger, I fear, of losing the uniqueness of our mission and our witness to the world. So what if we took a long look in the mirror and simply prayed, Lord, it's hard to be humble. Be merciful to me, a sinner. What if we prayed with complete faith and confidence that God's compassion and generosity can be trusted? It can be experienced. It can be shared. Think of it, all of us in this room, living with compassion rather than contempt, humility rather than hubris, self-reflection rather than self-righteousness, and faith rather than fear. If we're serious about the growth of the church, about the growth of this church, it begins when we live out the faith Jesus teaches. It begins when we follow Jesus on this different path. It begins when we receive and share God's compassion. Friends, it is hard to be humble if we think we have to be perfect, if we have to justify ourselves against someone else. But the standard is not our outward perfection. It is not what we accomplish compared to someone else. The standard is God's compassion. Jesus is clear in this parable. God's judgment is not like ours. God justifies not the perfect, but the humble, who trust in God's compassion and mercy. So whether you are a self-aware sinner or a self-righteous saint, God's arms are open wide with compassion and mercy, and it can be trusted. It can be experienced, and it can be shared. To the glory of God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our next song.
You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. You ride up on the clouds, you lead me to the truth. You are the spirit inside me. You ride up on the clouds, you lead me to the truth. You are the spirit inside me. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. You poured out all your blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me. You poured out all your blood, you died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again.
You may be seated. I know you can't see that very well, but it's the best that we could do. That's a map of Syria. And I have a few slides to show you this morning. Last Sunday, we began a workshop to better understand all the background of what's happening in Syria. We, as part of the Presbytery of Wyoming, are in partnership with two churches that are part of the National Evangelical Synod of Syria and Lebanon. And we received, so we continue to get updates and prayer concerns from them. And this last week, it included pictures. So I wanted to just share some of that with you because it gives us a face of those of our brothers and sisters in Syria. And I believe as we continue to pray for them, it will strengthen our partnership with them. In the northeast corner on that map, you can kind of see, and no, you can't see from where you are. but where you see little white boxes, those I think you can see. Those are all churches that are part of the synod. And in the northeast corner, there are three churches of Kamishli, Haseka, and Malkia. And so this is Reverend Firas Farah. He is the pastor of the Kamishli Church, and his wife Silva and their sons Jude and Aaron. Let's see, I think I will read, yeah. So in this update that we got, Reverend Farah reports that schools are still closed and the prices of daily goods in the city have doubled, adding to the suffering of the people. Many Christians have their shops located in Kurdish areas, and so they've stopped going to work. Nevertheless, our two pastors in the area, Reverend Firas and Preacher Matilda Sabag, which I'll show you in a moment, continue to visit with the congregations and comfort them with prayers and encouragement. They conveyed to me the fears and worries of the 40 to 50,000 Christians in the area. Like all Christians in Syria, the Christians of the Northeast are not armed and have no political ambition other than their longing for a peaceful, united Syria for all its citizens. Here are children at the Malkia Church with the red clothing and the stocking and stars hanging on the curtain. I believe that's probably a celebration of Christmas last year. This is preacher Matilda with her husband Isa from the Hasake Church. And this is Flora Shamas and her parents Nabil and Irina, who are members of the Kamishli Church. And Reverend Joseph Kassab, the Synod's General Secretary, his closing word in the update this week was, "We appeal to you to continue praying for all the people in the Northeast and lift our congregations and their pastors to the Almighty, so the experience that the peace that Jesus gives in such troubled times." If you would like to receive the updates as we get them, please just email the church office and we'll put you on that list as we forward those to folks who are interested. Let us pray. We pray for the church in every place, that wherever people gather in your name, you enable us to listen to each other with open hearts. Give your people unity, O God. Replace pride with reconciliation. God of mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for musicians and artists, Sunday school teachers and learners and ushers and greeters and cooks and cleaners and deacons and elders, all who serve your people. God of mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for Muslims and Jews, Hindus and Buddhists, and people of indigenous religions everywhere, that their paths may lead with ours to greater understanding of the goodness of faith in its many languages and forms. God of mercy, hear our prayer. Reassure us, O God, that you desire good for your world and all the people in it, and that your provisions are sufficient. Infuse us with a commitment to share with others, especially with those who do not have such riches and who today are hungry. God of mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those suffering from all forms of injustice, brokenness, or illness, especially all who have asked for the prayers of this congregation and for those whose well-being we hold in our hearts. God of mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those concerns we name in our hearts, God of mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, and for all things for which we pray. Give us the will to seek to bring them about. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning is the day that we take, that we receive the gifts of your pledges as an act of thanksgiving and dedication. You know, each week we collect the offering, not just to pay the bills. The offering is a practice. It's a practice of humility and thanksgiving. It's a time for us to give not just financially, but to think about how we give our very selves, our time and our talent, all of our resources, not out of what we can spare, but in recognition that all we have and all we are is a gift from God's grace. So this morning we receive pledges for the coming year, which helps the finance committee make a budget and the session prepare a budget. But it's also an act of humility, of recognizing that all we have is a gift from God. There are extra pledge cards in the pockets in front of you if you didn't bring yours from last week. If you need more time to consider that, take it home, bring it next week, mail it sometime in the future. If you are ready to give your pledge this morning, you can come up during the offering, and the basket in the center is for the pledges, and the plates on either side are for your offering. But as you give, it's not just your money. It's our very selves that we give to God with thanksgiving, with humility, for all that God has given to us. Let us gratefully give to the work of the church and the healing of the world.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the sick say, I am whole. Let the bound say, I am free. Because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks, give thanks.
Together, let us pray. Holy and merciful God, you know the joy that is in us when we offer ourselves, our time, and our possessions for the work you set before us. Use these gifts and pledges to heal and teach, comfort and challenge, that all the world might give you praise. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our last song.
Here in this worn and weary land, where many a dream has died. Like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire. Just to know you and to make you known, we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary. ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. Into your word we're digging deep to know our Father's heart. Into the world we're reaching out to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire. Just to know you and to make you known, we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Just to know you and to make you known, we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive.
Go out into the world as God's beloved children with humility, trusting, experiencing, and sharing God's compassion and mercy. And as you go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.
I'm gonna live so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna live so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna work so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna work so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna pray so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna pray so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna sing so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna sing so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime, anywhere, Lord.